Good morning. Man, it's so good to see everybody here this morning. If you're visiting with us today, or if you haven't been able to be here for the last couple of weeks, right now we're in the middle of a series entitled Freedom. And what we've been doing in this series, we've been talking about some things that oftentimes can enslave us. Some things that we can allow to come into our lives and control us, really. But here's the good news. Through the death, burial, and the resurrection, Jesus not only purchased our salvation, but He also purchased our freedom. We no longer have to be slaves to sin. In other words, as we said in week number one, listen, because of Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and the resurrection, listen, we don't have to be slaves to anger. As we said in week number two, because of Jesus, we don't have to be slaves to fear. And as we're going to see today, because of Jesus, we don't have to be slaves to pleasing people. Now, one of the things that I said at the very beginning of this series is that the things that we are discussing in this series are things that at times have enslaved me. These are things that I have struggled with. And today's topic is no different. There have been times in my life where I've worried what people thought about my clothes. There have been times in my life when I've worried about what people thought about the vehicle that I drive. There have been times in my life where I've worried about the house that I live in and what people thought of that. But really, one of the biggest challenges for me is my preaching. And I'll just be open and honest with you. I mean, from the very beginning, when I first started preaching, I would stand up and I would preach a sermon. And then after I got done preaching, the thoughts that first crossed my mind was, I wonder if people liked it. I wonder if people still like me because of the content, because of the message that I preached. And I got to tell you, if there was ever a Sunday when I didn't get enough pats on the back, I didn't get enough applause or approval, let me tell you, I couldn't sleep at night because I was enslaved to really what people thought of me. Let me ask you this morning, do you ever have times where you have feelings of low self-worth? Do you ever have times where you feel inadequate? And would you say, because of that, there have been times where you desperately sought the approval of others? It's been one of my struggles. In other words, what I'm saying to you this morning, as I talk about our topic today, listen, just know I may be teaching and preaching about a speck that you may have in your eye, but as for me, I've had a big old plank in my eye. In other words, I have been guilty of this myself. I've been enslaved to this myself. In the Bible, the way the Bible refers to this is the fear of man. And when you read that phrase, fear of man, in the Bible, it's not talking about being afraid of someone hurting you physically, but rather what it's talking about is living for their approval instead of God's. And this is what Solomon says about it. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. He says, fearing people is a what, church? It's a dangerous trap. And we're going to talk about some of the dangers of trying to live to please others. But I want you to write this down. I want us to begin here. We cannot live free as long as we let others decide who we will be. Living for the approval and the applause of others, listen to me this morning, it will only lead to bondage. It will enslave you. And let's be honest, who among us has not felt the weight of that chain? Who among us at one point in time can say that they have never struggled with approval addiction? Because really, here's the deal. We really like to be liked, right? I mean, how many of you would be honest? How many of you are on Facebook? How many of you are on Instagram? Okay, some of you are just lying. Anyway, I still like you though, okay, if that makes you feel better. But anyway, Facebook, Instagram, there's all this social media out there where you can post a picture of yourself or you can post some sort of video, and then people have an opportunity to put whether they like it or not. And how many of you would be honest enough to say that you've posted a picture or you have posted a video and throughout the day, I mean continually, you are checking to see if it was liked? Thank you, Riley. You're the only one. Thank you, brother. I really like you. But the problem is we really like to be liked. We love the applause. We love it when people approve of us. And here's the danger, okay? This is one of the traps. The desire to be liked can be so overwhelming that it oftentimes trumps our desire to be right. I'll give you an example. Several years ago, a university did a study where they took 10 kids and they brought them into the room where a teacher had drawn three lines. One was long, one was average length, and the other was short. And the test was very simple. It wasn't complicated. The teacher would say, "When I point to each line, when I point to the longest line, I want you to raise your hand." Everybody got that? Sounds pretty easy, right? Well, here's the deal. 9 of the 10 kids were in on this study. And they were told when the teacher walks into the room and points to the second longest, the average length line, that they were to raise their hand as if it was the longest. Okay, so there was one kid who didn't know it, but all 10 of the kids, they would go into this room together. The teacher would walk into the room. She would draw out those three lines, and then she would point to the longest line, and she would say, "Now, who in this room believes that this is the longest line? Raise your hand." And of course, that one kid, right, would raise his hand or her hand. But when they began to look around the room and no one else was raising their hand, get this, 75% of the time they would change their answer and they would put their hand down. Even though it was obvious, I mean, this was the longest line, as they began to look around and no one else was raising their hand, 75% of the time, and this was kindergartners all the way up to seniors in high school, 75% of the time they would change their answer. Why? Because acceptance was more important than being right. Let that sink in for a moment. That's how strong approval addiction can be. And here's the deal, it comes with a price. For example, it can cause us to conform to the values of what the majority thinks. It can also cause us to wear a mask so that other people won't know who we really are. Right? Because if other people know who we really are, then they may not like us. And so we keep our relationships on the surface, and what that does is it just erodes away our self-esteem even more, right? Because here's the deal, if we can't be ourselves, then how can we really be happy with ourselves? But then also think about this, so many of our "what was I thinking" moments that we look back on were probably motivated by a desire to impress others, right? One in particular for me that I remember was when I was a young man. It was during the summer, and my cousin comes up with one of her friends, and they said, "Hey, you want to go on a bike ride?" I said, "That sounds awesome." And well, I wanted to impress this little girl that my cousin brought with her, and so instead of getting on my little bike, I went over to my brother's big 10-speed. And so I get on my brother's 10-speed, and I'm struggling, but we're riding around through the neighborhood, and finally we come to Thrill Hill. Every town has one, right? This hill that goes straight down, and then at the very bottom, it veers real sharp to the right. And at the bottom where it's real sharp to the right, there's all this loose gravel. And so anyway, we come to this hill, and all three of us stop, and we look down this hill. And again, wanting to impress this young lady, I kind of deepened my voice, and I said, "Ladies, y'all better let me go down this hill first, make sure it's safe." And so I hop on my brother's big 10-speed, and I take off down this hill. Now, the first thing that didn't cross my mind is you can't pedal backwards to brake, right, on a 10-speed. So I'm starting off, and I'm trying to make this thing brake, and I mean, I'm just flying down this hill. And so here I am. I'm approaching the bottom. I mean, my face is pulled back. My hair is blowing in the wind. And see, that's just cruel because I know what some of y'all are thinking. But I've got a decision to make. I can either get to the bottom of that hill and apply the brakes at a high speed with some loose gravel, and I'm probably going to slide across the road, or I can just go off at the end of the curve there and go into the woods, possibly hit a tree and kill myself. And so I made the very quick decision. I'll take the road. I slammed on my brakes. Sure enough, I went down on my side, skidded across the road, had one of the worst road rashes you've ever seen, and I was bleeding, and the girls came walking down the hill, and I'm crying. And I'm thinking, what was I thinking? And what I was thinking was, I wanted to impress this girl. And it got me in all kind of mess. And let's really make this real. What about the person who's deep in debt? They've got the expensive car. They've got the big house. Why? Because they want everyone to think that they're successful. What about the young lady who compromises her purity because she wants some guy's approval? Or she doesn't want to be the only one in her group? Or how many of you can think of a time in your life where you laughed at a filthy or racist joke? And you look back and you think to yourself, man, what was I thinking? And probably what you were thinking was, well, everybody was laughing and I wanted to fit in. Or let's talk about drinking alcohol. And just so you guys know, my wife and I, we don't drink alcohol. And since we've moved to Florida, we've been asked to have a drink several times. We've been invited to wine parties, and we always say no. And, of course, people ask us a question, well, do you believe it's wrong? Do you believe it's a sin? And what we always say is nowhere in the Bible does it say it's wrong to drink alcohol, but it does say that it's wrong to get drunk, Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. And so they'll immediately come back and say, well, then why don't you drink? And one of the things that Julie and I always share with people is the fact that we worked in a drug and alcohol facility for women for several years. And from my own personal experience, one of the things that I very quickly realized as I began to talk to these ladies and question these ladies is not one time did I ever hear one of them say, well, I became an alcoholic because, or I took that first drink because I wanted to lead more people to Jesus. I never heard one of those ladies say, well, I started drinking because it was so cost effective. But what I did hear over and over and over again was ladies who admitted to me, whether it was through drugs or alcohol, I started doing this because I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to impress others. And listen, if that's you, there's a problem there, but it's not alcohol. And understand, I really wrestled with whether I wanted to even put that in this morning because I knew that probably some of you would get upset with me. And then I started thinking to myself, well, if I don't put that in, then really I'm not doing what I'm trying to teach others, right? Which is not to be a people pleaser. But I tell you that because these are things that I wrestle with. I think most ministers would say that they wrestle with this because most ministers like people. But we also like to be liked by people. I think about Acts chapter 5. Or really, if you back up to Acts chapter 4, you have a guy by the name of Barnabas who sold some land. And he gave all the proceeds to the church. And then you get into Acts chapter 5 right after Acts chapter 4 closes out, and you see Ananias and Sapphira, this husband and wife, and they have conspired together. They have decided that they're going to sell some property like Barnabas did, but they're only going to give a portion of the money to the church, but they're going to tell the apostles, they're going to tell the church that they're giving it all. Why? Because they want to be like Barnabas. I mean, you look at a guy like Barnabas and you go, oh man, what a guy. Here's a guy who truly loves the Lord, and he's a guy you want to lift up and respect. And so, man, we want to be respected and loved like Barnabas is. And so they came up with this plan. We'll sell our property and we'll tell the church, we'll tell the apostles, we're giving all of it. But we'll withhold some. Here's another trap. And maybe some of you can relate to this too. Because I like to be like, I often become someone that I don't like. When I was in middle school, there was a kid that a lot of people made fun of. And to be upfront and honest with you this morning, I like this kid. He lived in my neighborhood. I had him over to my house to spend the night. He would have me over to his house to spend the night. But whenever I was with the popular group and they started making fun of him, I joined in. Because I wanted to fit in. In fact, there were times when I would have some of the popular kids over my house and they would say, call him, invite him over. And so I would call him and he would come over and then we would hide from him. There were times when I hurt him so bad that he left crying. And I can tell you this morning that when that happened, I didn't like myself. How many of you would say that there have been times in your life because you so desperately wanted the approval of others, you became someone you didn't like? You see, I would say that probably for a lot of us, We don't struggle necessarily with being evil, but rather being fearful. Fearful of not being accepted. Fearful of being a disappointment to someone. And where courage is lacking, bondage is always present. But here's the truth about people pleasing. Remember we said in the very beginning of this series, Jesus' own words were, listen, you will know the truth, and the truth will what, church? Truth will set you free. And so we want to take this and we want to pour truth on it. And here's the truth. No one wins at people pleasing. Understand that. You can't please everyone all the time. We talked a couple of weeks ago about being in the Christian race. Well, let me tell you something. There is another type of race that you can run, and it is the people-pleasing race. And if you ever get in that race, what you will find yourself doing is going in circles. And let me tell you something. There is no finish line. It just keeps going on and on and on, and it's not worth it. It'll wear you out. Great example of this is, and my kids, my kids really get upset with me when I use them in my sermons. But I'm going to have to use them. I'm going to have to throw them under the bus this morning. So our family will go out to eat. And what I did for the longest time as we were, you know, going out to eat, I would ask everyone in the car, I would say, what does everybody want for supper tonight? And I see some of y'all smiling because y'all already know, those of you who are parents, you already know where I'm going with this. All three of my kids, man, they're all giving me different answers and they're all disagreeing with each other. No, I don't want this. I had this last week. And I mean, they're going at it. And I cannot, I realize I cannot please everybody in that car, no matter how hard I try. And so the other day, I had this vision. It came at me. I mean, it hit me out of nowhere. And I turned to my wife and I said, why do I do this? I said, you and I, we pay for the gas that we're putting in this car to drive to some restaurant. And I said, number two, we're paying for everybody's meal that's in this car. And I said, why in the world would we ask them what they want to do, what will make them happy? And I looked at her and I said, I'm not asking them anymore. I said, I'm asking you, what do you want for supper? Because we normally agree on things. But I learned very quickly, I cannot please everybody. J.R. Vassar was in Southeast Asia. He visited this large Buddhist temple. And he said that there were all these desperately poor people who were bowing down and giving their last dollar to this object of worship, this statue of Buddha. And he said he went around to the backside of the statue and there was all this scaffolding. And he said, I very quickly realized that this big statue of Buddha was broken. And it was being repaired. And he said, I thought, how tragic. Broken people are asking a broken Buddha to fix their broken lives. And here's the truth about people pleasing. Broken people perform before broken people in a sad attempt to fix their own brokenness. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work spiritually. Right? I mean, there's this one occasion in 1 Samuel chapter 15, right, where God specifically tells Saul to do something and he doesn't carry it through. I mean, he does part of it, but he doesn't do exactly what God asked him to do. And so The prophet Samuel comes to him and asks him why he did it. And he says, I have sinned. He says, because I cared more about pleasing the people. I let them tell me what to do. Instead of obeying God, I was worried about pleasing the people. Listen, over and over again in the Bible, we see that if we're going to please God, sometimes we're going to have to displease the crowd. I get it. That's tough. That is so difficult. Because again, we like to be liked. But sometimes in order to please God, we have to go against what everybody else is doing and what everybody else wants us to do. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul writes, obviously, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I'm trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I would not, what, church? Be Christ's servant. Now pay close attention to that last sentence, because here's what Paul is saying. I cannot be Christ's servant if I am a people pleaser. Listen, free people live for an audience of one. In fact, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul, again, is writing, and he says, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to what, church? Please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. Jesus himself said, right? In John chapter 5, verse 30, he says, I don't try and please myself, but rather I try to what, church? Please the one who sent me. Because only one measures our worth in a way that brings real freedom. Listen, most people live in bondage because they live their lives for a blessing. But what if we lived our lives from a blessing? Let me explain. Our worth was given to us before our appearance and our performance was ever considered. Some of you need to hear this today. It may be that there are some of you here who have considered suicide. That's very real. People, they don't value themselves. They think the world would be a better place if they weren't around. And let me tell you something, there's nothing further from the truth. From the very beginning, you were precious in God's sight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, even before He made the world, talking about God, God loved us and He chose us. I mean, do you understand that? I want everybody to leave here today at least understanding that point, that God loved you and He chose you. Because you see, we live in bondage to what other people think of us, or when we live in bondage to what other people think of us, really, we have forgotten how God feels about us. And here's the deal, other people aren't experts on our worth. Maybe someone's called you fat. Maybe someone's called you ugly. Maybe it was even a parent who said you're worthless. And other people aren't experts on our worth. It's kind of like, and some of you who are parents, you'll understand this, Julie and I will have a yard sale. And Julie, before we have the yard sale, we'll go into our kids' rooms when they were younger and they would look for toys that they haven't played with in a while, and she would collect them up. And the next day, they'd be out on a table for a couple of cents, and we're having a yard sale, and the kids would walk through, and they'd go, "Oh, what are you doing?" Number one, they're appalled. I mean, they're absolutely upset because their toy is being sold. But number two, they're upset because their mom is selling it for a couple of cents. To them, it's worth so much more than that. And what that tells us is this: their toy's worth was not for someone else to determine, because they owned it. And they loved it. And the same is true of you and me. Only God can give us our worth because He created us. And He loves us. In fact, this is how valuable we are to Him. John 3:16, for this is how much God loved the world. He sent His one and only Son to die for us. Are you listening to this? That's how much God loves you. He was willing to sacrifice His Son for you. Romans 5:8, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I love this verse. For we are God's what, church? We're His masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. And even before we were ever born, we are so special in His sight. He had a plan for us. There's a purpose for you here. You're that special. You are that loved. When I was in elementary school, even in middle school, teacher would choose someone to run an errand. And of course, you always wanted to be that kid, because if you weren't that kid, you got left in class. You had to sit in class. And so as soon as the teacher would say, does anybody want to run an errand for you? Anybody want to go to the principal's office to drop off the lunch money for today? All of us would be like, ooh, 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 ooh. And she wouldn't necessarily choose the brightest or the smartest. I know, because she chose me. Or he chose me. And I just remember that teacher would then go to their drawer and pull out a hall pass and give it to me. And I would step out in that hall, and man, I'd get all cocky. Because I would start looking for other teachers. I wanted someone to ask me, what are you doing out in the hall? Right, Slate, what are you doing out here? You're supposed to be in class. And I'd go, say, I got a hall pass. I'm not the brightest and I'm not the smartest, but the teacher chose me to run this errand. John 15:16-18, you didn't choose me, but rather I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will Listen, you may not be the brightest, you may not be the best, but God chose you. He loves you, and I want to encourage all of us to embrace that. You're valuable. You're so special to God. Listen, right now, some of you are deciding your worth either by what people think of you or by what God thinks. Just know that in His eyes, you are so special. And when we become convinced that we matter to God, it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. And we're set free. Because the love of God will crowd out the need to get applause and approval from others. And when we know who we are or whose we are, we also know who we don't have to be. And we can leave that prison. And it's absolutely wonderful. And one of the reasons it's wonderful is because free people can love other people. Matthew chapter 12, 30 through 31, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as what, church? Do you love yourself? There is no commandment greater than these. Listen, it's really hard to love yourself when your love is based on how you perform. Because no one has a perfect performance. We all make mistakes. And so we've got to learn to live for God's approval because God's love is unconditional. It's not based on how we look or how we perform. It's unconditional. And when we embrace His love, we can love others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, I leave you with this. We love because God first loved us. We love from our blessings, not for our blessings. And we see this in Jesus, right? Jesus, how in the world could you love this individual? She has a terrible reputation. Jesus, how in the world could you love this guy? I mean, he's a traitor to our own nation. God, how could you love her? She's a female. And Jesus says, I don't care. And if you don't understand that last statement, women were really no better than slaves during that day. And so men really didn't give them much regard except to have children. But Jesus loved them. And He loves all of you. And when we embrace that love, guess what? We don't have to worry about what everyone else thinks, and we can love others as they need to be loved. And so this morning, if there's anyone here that needs to respond for any reason, maybe today you want to put on Christ in baptism and give your life to Jesus, having all your sins washed away through His blood, Acts 2, verse 38. Or today it may be that maybe right now you're going through something and you need the prayers of the church. Maybe it's prayers for yourself. Maybe at this point you don't even love yourself. We just want you to know that there are people today, right now, who love you. They'll come sit up here with you. They'll pray with you. Because they've been loved by God, and they know the love that God has for you. And so if you need to respond for any reason, once you come together, we stand and sing.